I know how you are with your camera. There's gonna be some ugly crying, all right?
Okay.
Get me on a good time.
I'm gonna let you delete the ones that's not good.
Get me on a good spot because this is not gonna be. Get it now, man. Get it now. This is, yeah, get me now. Because in a few minutes, and it's just, you know, we're a woman.
That's right.
We, okay, this ain't gonna work.
You want it off?
Turn it this way.
There you go. Hi. Whew. I knew I was going to be preparing something. I remember back in March, I had my friend over there. She sat there and she said, you need to write a diary about everything that you're going through. She said, so that way you can share what the Father's going to do through this. And I'm like, okay. And every time I would pick up a pen, I couldn't write anything. And I just said, I know what Pastor does. Father, if it's something you want me to remember, if it's something you want me to share with somebody, you're going to have to bring it back to my memory because I can't put anything on paper. I just couldn't. I don't know. Maybe it was final because when you see things in writing, it's like it's final for me. So if I had to assign a title to this, I want to speak about the goodness of the Father in a season of grief. So y'all bear with me. It's going to be sad, but I want you to get what I got out of this. Because it doesn't just apply whenever you lose a son. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says there's a time for everything. That's the title of it. For every matter, there is an appointed time. Even a time for every pursuit under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for battle, and a time for peace. This is an appointed time. It's a season. This is the time. This is the time that we've been called here, commanded here. Together. And I began to think about this and I was like, how can I go to the tent with the grief? How can I do that? But you know what he does? He says, come with everything that you've got.
Yeah.
Come get in my tent and come dwell with me and let me heal everything that's broken. Everything that's not right. Let me make it right. Let me show you. Let me continue to teach you. Because this life is all about learning. So it's going to get deep and then we're going to get high. So just bear with me for just a moment. And I'm sharing something with you that's personal and it's my journey. The most painful moment of my life. Ryan didn't make it. I couldn't breathe. My heart was shattered. The grief was deep. The sorrow was endless. And chaos filled my emotions. The deepest heartbreak that a mother can endure. I have no words because I don't have these words to describe the weight of what happened. Now, Yehovah, the creator of this whole universe, he gave me something that I didn't expect. Not just comfort and strength, because the first thing everybody says is we're going to pray for comfort and strength. He gave me true shalom. This is not the world's definition of peace. He did not give me a temporary break from my trouble, nor did he give me a reprieve from my fragile emotional state, but he gave me covenantal shalom that only he could provide. Shalom is 87965. Listen to what he gave me. He gave me wholeness. He gave me completeness. He gave me safety, soundness, welfare, harmony. And it's the absence of chaos. It's the absence. So the chaos that moved in, that's what shalom does. It takes the chaos out. Shalom is not the result of a calm environment. It's the presence of the one who brings divine order into our lives. And I want all of you to know that that is what he's given me. There are days that the only reason I make it, there are days that the only reason I go on, I breathe, I enjoy life. Yesterday was beautiful for me. It was absolutely beautiful. It brought me back to a time when I had my three children and I was running and playing games because me and my children grew up together. Yes. I was a young mom. So yesterday was part of my healing. Hallelujah. It healed something in me yesterday. There was a part of me that just rejoiced. Isaiah 63:1 says he gives us beauty for ashes. Yeah. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I've experienced this. This is not just poetry in this book. This is my reality, people. This is my truth. This is what I'm living. The word has become real in my world. It's become real. Grief. Let me talk to you about grief for just a moment. It's real. It can become a trap. It can come in waves sometimes and crash hard on you. Let me tell you what else grief can do. It can cloud our judgment and it can leave us vulnerable to the one who whispers. But yeah, he gives us his word and it anchors us if we allow it. It makes us sober-minded. It keeps us grounded so that we're not ruled by our emotions, but we're led by his truth. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11 has become my guardrail. It says, be sober. Watch, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in belief, knowing that the same hardships are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. I'm not alone. Right. I'm not the only one who's ever lost. I'm not alone. And the Elohim of all favor, who called you to his everlasting esteem by Messiah Yeshua, after you have suffered a while, himself perfect, he's going to establish, strengthen, and settle you. So my family, you guys, we all grieve. And I'm going to ask you a question today. I'm going to put it to you. What are you grieving? What did you come to the tent with? What hurt? What grief did you come with? Maybe you lost a relationship. Maybe you still grieve in a way of life that you no longer live. Maybe you lost an opportunity. Maybe you're even grieving the thought of something, the idea of something that could have been, but it's no longer. So I ask you today, be real with it. Just be real with it. And then go ask your father. Go ask him to help you with this. Pain is inevitable, but Surrender is optional. Because guess what? We have a free will. We have a free will. We get to choose. We get to choose. We can either let grief lead us astray, which is from his presence, or we can be given an opportunity to humble ourselves and allow it to deepen our roots, to go deep. Emotions will make us poor shepherds. You cannot lead people by being emotional. Only Yehovah can lead besides their waters. I'm going to give another caution. We cry out to Yah in times of crisis, in trouble, our pain. Oh, Yah, fix it. Heal them. Restore it. Mend it. All the things. We so easily invoke the name of Yehovah, only later to just dismiss his premise. In Matthew 15, eight through nine, it says, "This people draw near to me with their mouth and respect me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as teaching the commands of men." Because most of the time when we're broken and we're hurting, all we want is them to fix it. We want to get out the pain. We don't want to sit. We just don't want to. At least I know I didn't. And I'm just being real. Yah is not some charm of convenience. He is holy. He has authority, power, and with that comes covenant responsibility. His name is not just to be lifted up on high whenever we're in great need, but it's how do we lift him up when he responds to my need. You see, he's not obligated to respond to those who casually use his name but ignore his truth. And through this season of grief, I've come to hold his word with greater reverence. His name and his word. One of the most beautiful and personal ways that Yah ministered to me, it came from Pastor whenever he brought me the word, the Hebrew word Bechi, which is H1059. It's a weeping. And I remember the day he gave it to me, he was trying to get there and service had went a little bit, and I'm thinking he's gonna go a little longer and I had to go take my potty break, you know, because I got a 58-year-old bladder here. So I got up and I went to the bathroom. He said, "Sister Becky, did you hear that?" And I had completely missed it. So he repeated himself about the word. And I'm thinking, how beautiful. And that's basically where, wow, how beautiful. A little time went by. Life began to life. And I began to feel alone in my grief. I begin to feel forgotten, and I begin to question why. So on a very hard day, when life was lifing, and the whisper was whispering, Yah spoke to my heart. And to get through all the noise, he had to be firm with me, but yet still lovingly. And you said, "I see your Becky. I see you weeping. I see it." He seen my tears, and he let me know that he grieved my son also, because you see, Ryan was his creation. He loved Ryan before I ever loved Ryan. This is the God of the universe we're talking about. This is who he is. He cares that much about me, my son, and you. The God of the universe. I had the opportunity to share with the lady. She had felt the presence of Almighty Yah for the first time in her life. She says, "Where do I start reading that?" Go to the beginning. Go fall in love with the creator of this universe, the one that created you. Go fall in love with him. This is the very nature of Yah. He sees us. He sees us. Everybody knows that I have a memory garden in my yard. And I can tell you I've had to allow Yah to be my master gardener here. And trust me, Yah can plant a better garden than me. Just look at Eden. Just look at Eden, people. Read the book. Read the front of the book. But Yah has begun to work in the soil of my life. But with a natural garden, it takes time. It does take time. Some days it's very hard work. Some days I'm sitting out there in that garden, and I'm not going to lie, I begin to pull weeds of doubt and disappointment and anger and frustration. And then there are those days that I sit in silence and the sun shines on me. And I remember his goodness. I remember his shalom. I feel it. I walk in it. But I always have a choice. I can stay in that garden, pulling all the weeds of doubt and disappointment and the whys, or I can sit in his presence and allow him to heal me. You see, Yah's the manager of everything. I only maintain. How well are you going to maintain your grief? How well? Because it's the maintenance. The Father knew the impact that the sting of death would leave on my life. You can ask anybody. I walk differently. I think differently. Things matter differently now. It's what it does. Because one moment you're talking to someone, and the next minute they're gone. Forever. Forever they're gone. You don't get to make that connection. I spoke yesterday about the opportunities that I miss. I don't ever want to miss an opportunity, not just with my children, but with nobody. I don't want to do that with anyone. When given an opportunity, I know that he has equipped me fully with all the tools that I need, that is necessary, to speak about his goodness in any season of grief, any season of happiness, because it's the same message. It's the same message. From the very beginning, within 2 days of Ryan's death, I got a word, thankful. And I got Psalms 51:10. And I'm like, oh, thankful. Oh yeah. Ryan was such a thankful person. And I'm like, created me a clean heart. I'm like, huh, wonder why he gave me that? Well, did I figure that out fast? The thankful was he was giving me the reminder to be thankful for every moment I got from him. To be thankful for the moments that would come that I would get to share of his goodness. My fruit is not for me. I learned that also this year. It's not for me. And then I would learn that sitting at that garden, pulling them weeds, created me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. I would need that time and time again. It's not just a one and done. It's a constant working. It is work.
Yes.
When I lost my son, his stepsister lost her mom at the same time. It was tragedy. And in my grieving for my son in the early days, I was given the opportunity to love on Katie. Katie just lost her mom. And all I could do was embrace her and pray for her. And if you don't think the Father is good and knows what he's doing, he was able for me to take my eyes, as long as I humbled myself, off of me, and I shifted it to Katie. Not because of me. All I did was just be humble, and I allowed him to do what only he can do. My part was me making the choice to be humble That was my choice. That was me. That's what my job was to do. He does the rest. Mm-hmm. So in every situation, don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity to speak, to share, whatever it is, because people are hurting. Respond to the sound. This is what I'm working on now, is responding quickly. Sometimes I'm still dragging my feet. There's some days I go out there and I see Ryan's headstone and I'm like, I'm slow to respond, but I'm getting there because beautiful things are starting to grow in me again. I can't explain it other than the creator of the universe, my heavenly Father. He is doing this work in me. So that's why I'm going to tell you one more time. If you haven't brought the grief, the pain, whatever it is, in the tent, don't miss your opportunity. Don't be slow to respond to the sound because he's calling. Because my healing is here. It's here. Thank you all. I do not want anybody's pity, but I want you to see his goodness in my grief. That's what I want you to see. Thank you all for listening.
Hallelujah.